Hello and welcome to Money Chill Out, the podcast to inspire and feel good about your money. I'm Marika Fino, a woman in my 30s, ex-trader in the city of London, a yoga teacher, and the owner of my financial empowerment business. On this podcast, I want to open up the discussion around money and investments and dive into personal finance management, which can be a great liberator, but also a huge stress factor in our lives. Every other week, I'll be joined by guests for conversation on money, mindset, investment habits, and any best practices they abide by. So join me on this journey as we unpick the complexities of finance and get more comfortable talking about our money. You too can get financial peace of mind, and it starts with empowerment and knowledge. Let's go. Hi, Isa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Thanks so much for reaching us. And I'm super happy to have you on. You're based in Belgium and you're the founder of Enki, which is an innovative furniture subscription service that offers users a much more flexible and sustainable way to get furnished. So we're going to discuss that. And today we're going to speak about this unusual asset class. And that's why I'm super excited because I think it's pretty new, I would say.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the intro. And thanks for having me.
No, my pleasure. So can you explain why you've created Enki?
So obviously, it started for me as a personal need. So I used, besides my other startups that I had before, I used to have like a side business, which was renting out apartments, furnished apartments. And also, obviously, I also had the same need to furnish office spaces in my previous companies. And I started looking for solutions because for me, it didn't make a lot of sense to kind of invest money and just having that money sitting there into the furniture. So I started looking for a solution that would be similar because we have seen subscription in many domains. And so I was looking for something similar. And I was really surprised by the fact that there was no solution. And also, I also discovered that furniture industry is really an industry that is so polluting. That there was a huge circularity problem. I mean, sustainability problem, and that led me to really think that there is a huge potential for this business. And in parallel to that, I always loved architecture in general, furniture design, and things like that. And the combination of both was really, for me, the best project I could do.
Super interesting. And I love these kind of stories, experienced it, and yeah, you want to find a solution. So can you tell us the advantages of renting or even leasing furniture instead of buying?
Yeah, so what I noticed is that the problem with the traditional buying is that first, like I said, it's a big investment that you might want to put in, like growing your company, if you're talking B2B, etc. So for me, that's really one big advantage. So what happens is that sometimes companies, they tend to buy cheaper options because they want to lower the investment, and they end up also having to throw away the furniture very fast because it gets broken very fast. The other problem you can have is the lack of flexibility, because we know it and we saw it, for example, with a crisis like COVID, needs tend to change. And so sometimes it's hard if you buy something and then you need, after 2-3 years, you need to change it. You can be really stuck, and then you start looking for options like selling, reselling your furniture, etc. So it's very complex. And so to us, to really summarize the advantages, is really first, not having to invest and the furniture, so really having access to nice, high quality, sustainable furniture, having the flexibility to make the furniture change with your changing needs, and obviously also participating in a model that is a lot more sustainable than the traditional model.
Yeah, makes sense. And that's why, if we're going to talk about it later, but you have a project of becoming the leader in the secondhand market for furniture. So that's coming as well from that desire.
Yes, exactly. So while we started with this option, we are really convinced that in like 10 to 15 years, furniture subscription could be something very standard because we see it and we see that it makes a lot of sense for our customers. Although we also notice that it's quite early. We are still early in the market. People are not especially looking for a solution like this. They don't know it exists. And so we really want to somehow accelerate our impact in terms of circularity, because circularity is really at the center of what we do at Enki. And we also notice in parallel that we get a lot of demand for secondhand furniture, which made us look at that market and how it is evolving. And we discovered that today, that market of secondhand furniture, especially for B2B usages, it's three times the growth, is three times the amount of the new furniture. So the demand is super big, and we are really well placed to become a strong actor in that domain. And that's why we decided to extend our business to secondhand furniture. And so the way we want to approach it is that, thanks to our investment platform that we can talk about it afterwards, we have the power to be able to buy very large inventories of good quality secondhand furniture that we can then refurbish and offer, of course, with the buying option. So we have a circular buy option that I can explain later a little bit, and obviously also the sustainability. And so our aim is really to do a step forward and a step further in the circularity by incorporating this business model. And so, yeah, for us, it's a big turn, but we are really happy to embrace this evolution.
Yeah, no, it's as if you go like from the top and the bottom, and yeah, it's the full line. That's nice. So, can you say like what are the main points that attracts your client? What are they after?
Well, I think today it's mostly the financial part, I would say. So the idea of enjoying high quality design furniture, because obviously we tend to choose higher quality items because we want them to last long. And so we are talking about, you know, solid wood. So very good quality furniture, which for some of our customers is key, because they also want their customer to, for example, if we're talking about businesses in the hospitality sector, they want the furniture to reflect their brand. Or obviously office spaces, it's also towards, you know, attracting talents, etc. So I think the first reason why customers are buying from us is exactly the financial reason. And then obviously the flexibility, like I said, if we see that things can tend to change faster and faster, and companies need to be very agile these days. And the idea of flexibility, of not having to commit long term, is also like another reason. And the fact that you also get the peace of mind, because obviously we really offer a service, which means that we are there if there is anything happening with the furniture, or even maintenance, we can offer maintenance, things like that. So it's really like offering a peace of mind, and also allowing our customers to actually consume better, because there are more and more constraints about, consuming in a more circular way. And I think that tends to intensify. I think we will see more and more regulations that will force companies to be more circular. And about that, it's the circularity is really, every sector has to go there. And I think furniture is one of the biggest.
Yeah, no, but I really like those points, especially the flexibility aspects, because as you said, things can move and with the cost, then you're going to be stuck, and you don't want that. So
exactly. And what we like to say is that we are offering something that creates a lot of value for the customer and the way he will experience the service, and in parallel, solving a huge problem towards, you know, sustainability and things like that.
Yeah. And you also want to be the Uber of the furniture market, so which means allowing individuals to finance companies' furniture. That's why you're creating, or you're launching, an investment platform where we could lend money to an entity that, for example, needs a makeover. So can you expand on the type of client that you have, the brands in the furniture that you use, and the companies as well looking for funding?
Yeah. So the way we have built it, obviously like I explained, the quality of our furniture is quite robust. So we only buy high quality items, which means that we somehow have to finance all that furniture. And we like at Enki the idea of, you know, involving a community. And obviously, I also have a fintech background where I built a previous company, which consisted in a participative financing model. And so I thought with Enki, it's the perfect asset to kind of create a similar approach. So we decided to create a platform that is a bit similar to a crowdfunding platform. And so basically anyone can invest from 500 euros and get a return from 6 to 8% yearly. And basically what they do, they invest in either the projects that we furnish or the furniture inventory. So the furniture stock, and that allows us to both have a strong financing model that can allow us to grow and finance all the furniture, and in parallel, give a return to our investors based on something that is quite, you know, real. And we launched that and it's quite successful. We launched it 5 months ago already. And the last 3 months only, we did almost €1 million of financing. So it's super, super successful. And we see that the investors community is really involved, and they understand it very quickly. And they like also the idea that their investment is also participating towards building a better model. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the way we wanted to be innovative in the way we finance our operations. And so to come back to the brands, because that was also part of your question. Well, today we work mostly with, you know, European brands that have like a certain way of building their products. So what we look for is mostly, obviously, products that are quite durable, that are well built, that don't use too many chemicals, that are harmful. So we also have an approach where we try to work with brands that have also sustainability and circularity in mind as they build their products. And so far we are very happy. We have like 30 brands working with us, and we are really careful about whom we decide to work with.
No, thanks for sharing. It's beautiful as a success. And as you said, it's only been a few months, so there's plenty of opportunities. So let's go now towards you as an investor, like a private investor. So our listeners, and investing in furniture as part of an investment portfolio. So furniture is clearly an alternative asset class, like jewelry, wine, tea, and so on and so forth. But it's less popular because it's the first time I hear about it. As you said, you're very early in the market. So why would you recommend like any individual to invest there?
Yeah, but well, the first thing I would say is that it's something easy to understand, because I mean, there is like the assets behind it. There are the contracts also, because I mean, for every investment project, we have a customer that is paying a monthly rent. So I think that's the first thing, because sometimes we don't really understand where we are investing. Of course, thanks to our business model, we are able to produce comfortable margins, which means also a good ROI that is between 6 to 8%, which is quite high for something that we consider is quite secure. Obviously, this is completely uncorrelated to the market. So that's also something I think it's important in a portfolio, in a well-diversified portfolio. And we also notice that more and more people are really willing to invest in something that contributes to something, I mean, more virtuous. And that's also one of the reasons, because every investor who is participating is somehow also helping us with, you know, making the furniture consumption better and more sustainable.
Yeah, and I think that the last point that you mentioned about being so concrete really is something that a lot of people are looking at the moment. And it's a bit like impact investing, or how can you really know where your money is invested? So yeah, so you think your clients really look for that?
Yeah, we get a lot of very positive feedback about that. And they really mentioned that they really like the system because they really love the mission of, you know, already the business model of subscription, etc. They understand it, they love it, and they understand why it's better. And for them, it's really, they really appreciate having both a good return. So it's quite a, you know, financial choice. But in parallel, they are really, really insisting in the fact that for them, investing in something that contributes to something better is really key. And we were very, very, very positively surprised by that. And that's the reason why we are so happy with this choice and that we want to go a lot further with that. So
yeah, nice. It's really like two dimensions, the financial aspects, but as well, the rest.
Yeah, we like to say that in one hand, we are innovating in the furniture industry, but we are realizing that we are also making quite some innovation in the financial aspect of our business. And we believe that this could be a nice example for other businesses also to incorporate somehow a financial component to their business model that could have positive outcome for both the business and obviously the investors. Because, I mean, nowadays, I mean, a lot of retail investors are also looking for alternative solutions. So I think it's, yeah, we are in a very good timing with that towards what's happening there. Yeah.
Agreed. So how does it work concretely? So if I want to invest, so you said it's minimum 500 euros. It's roughly 6 to 8% of performance. But what in terms of payoff or any other indicators or things we need to be mindful of?
Yes. So basically the way you, so it's really like an online platform. So you just create an account, you have access, you can see then the projects that we publish. And so we have two types of projects. So the first one is when we sign a customer for a subscription, then we will publish the project for the total value of the subscription. So let's say we have a customer who is going to pay 1,000 euro and then for like 36 months, then we will publish a project of 36,000 on the platform. And you are able to invest from 500 to that specific project. And from the duration that we rent the furniture, that's going to be the duration of the project. So if it's 24 months, then it's going to be 24 months. If it's 36 until 60. And then you choose. And obviously the return on investment that we're offering is different. And obviously the longer it is, the more you get. And it's really for the investor to choose. And the other type of projects we have is the stock. So like I explained, with this new evolution of, you know, buying secondhand furniture, the idea is that we allow investors to help us somehow buy some inventory of furniture. And so basically, yeah, you have the two projects. For the first one, you get a monthly reimbursement of your capital plus interest, the one for the stock. So the durations are a little bit smaller. It's like between 12 to 24 months, but the money is, how to say that, blocked for that duration. So you get your capital back after that period of time, and you get a monthly interest. And so the way this will work, so we want to buy obviously the furniture, secondhand furniture, and we have different techniques of sourcing. And thanks to our experience, we know how to choose a very good quality furniture. Then we refurbish it, and we plan then to resell it with a margin. And so basically we are sharing somehow a part of the margin with investors, and that allow us to have a strong power to buy large inventories and also to offer large inventories. Because the problem with secondhand furniture today, although the demand is super high, there is no strong actor that is present with a large inventory. And so if you're a company and you want to furnish an office space or any project, you will have to go to like small shops and here and there. So it's quite cumbersome to really like furnish a big space. And then that's why I really want to work with like large inventories where you can really find anything you are looking for. And of course, if you don't find it there, you can also have the new furniture that we have. So yeah, you have a very large possibilities.
Yeah, and thanks for explaining on this talk, because I did not really understand why we could have, let's say, 6 or 8% just to help you buy. But yeah, which means if you add value by refurbishing and redoing some of the furniture, do you have partnerships, let's say, with people who are going to have the know-how, or do you have them in-house?
So right now, obviously, we know we have some partners that we have been working with in the past, because we already refurbish some of our pieces that we recuperate from a previous subscription, for example. But as we are growing and we want to make this really big, we decided that we will build our own workshops to do that, because that's going to be the most efficient way for us to manage, yeah, and to scale and to make it at control costs. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. And you emphasized as well the fact that you're not a crowdfunding platform, even though it looks like it. But in this case, investors like you and me can actually lend money to you, and that finances the purchase of the furnitures for a specific client or for the stock. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the big difference is that usually on a crowdfunding platform, what you have people with projects looking for funds, and the platform is usually like an intermediary between the two. Whereas we are organized a little bit like a crowdfunding platform, but we only obviously seek funds for our own projects, and it's really only for our business model. And the risk, you know, we don't put the risk of our customers on our investors. So it means that even, for example, if we have a customer and they don't pay their rent, we have a contract with you as an investor directly, and we have to respect that contract. So we don't say, okay, if the customer doesn't pay the rent, then we don't pay you your, so the risk is not directly related to the customers. And that's the big difference. So legally, the money is lended to us, and we use it to provide our services.
Mm-hmm. Which means that the risk is shared instead of belonging to that one person who was unlucky lending to that specific project that did not work.
Yeah, exactly. And we have the whole organization. Obviously, if, for example, a customer doesn't pay for 2 months, we get back the furniture, and obviously we can put that furniture back. We can have a new customer using that same furniture and make sure that we keep on getting return from the furniture. And so basically the idea for our investors, we always guarantee that there is a project, like a real project behind every investment they do. And even though, for example, if we at some point we are in that situation where we have to get the furniture back, we also have the policy of reimbursing of our investors the capital part and publish a new project once we, for example, re-rent the furniture that we took from that customer.
Yeah. And what about time horizon? So you said between 1 to 4 years. On average, like furniture, how long does it last? And with your service, like with the know-how about like recycling or refurbishing or redoing some bits that could have been broken or something, how long do you expect that to be?
Well, that's for us really something that we want to work towards and also work with our suppliers, because in this way of doing things, we kind of change the way we used to think about products. And, you know, unfortunately, in the past 50 years, there was this idea of, you know, we create products and they don't last very long, and then we just replace them, which is obviously a problem. So here we are really changing that. And what we're looking for is really to think about how can we increase the lifespan of a product. So today, obviously, we buy products that are considered very high quality, very premium, because those products are built to last. But still, we think that there is still a lot of work. So these products can basically last 15, 20, even more. Sometimes the problem is more the look, how they look, because sometimes you get tired from a look, and that's the difficult part, because in terms of the material, there is no problem. But this is also a subject that we are working towards and trying to work with our suppliers to build the products in a way that they can be easily disassembled, where we can have spare parts, and also maybe think about models where you can easily change some parts and make the furniture still looking, and evolve with the trends without changing the whole piece. So that's kind of a whole work. And I think the more we move forward, the more we will have an influence in the way products are built. But clearly our aim is to extend the lifespan of a product more than 20 years. And we really believe that's possible.
Anything else you want to add, like any specificities, any projects you're working on, and I'm sure there's plenty because it's still like super early on.
Yeah, I mean, we have a very, very big news that we are working on right now, which is also, we believe, quite special, because we had so much success, you know, with the investment platform, because we have seen that our investors are so much like involved in the project, and we get so many reviews from them really liking the mission, and so we obviously we want to continue the growth of the company. We really want to build a leader in this industry, and with this evolution of the secondhand furniture market and all, we decided to fundraise, and we were looking about what's the best strategy, what do we want to do. Obviously, a lot of startups are going to, like, the most of startups are going to raise with like VC funds, et cetera, et cetera. And we thought, because we have one foot in this, you know, model of community of investors, et cetera, why not push it a step further? And so that's why we decided to open our capital to our community. And basically we are raising money to continue the growth of the company, to build these workshop facilities I talked about for the secondhand furniture. And voila, and we like the idea to offer this opportunity to the community, to our existing investors and future investors that will join. And of course, they will also benefit from, yeah, many advantages that we want to offer. So we really like this idea of building a community all together. And we really believe that it's by building things together that we can build something very ambitious.
And can you say, like, how much you're looking for to raise?
Yeah, I mean, thanks to our business model and the platform, the financial platform, we are not a company that will need to raise a lot of money because it's quite cash flow positive the way we organize it. And so we are looking to raise something between 1 to 2 million maximum at this stage. And we will see, I mean, if in the future we want to raise more, but we are thinking that maybe if we decide to raise more, it would be also to offer some liquidity options to the initial investors. Because like I said before, we like this idea of being innovative in the way we approach finance. And while searching about how we could organize this best, we noticed that one of the pains for investors is usually you invest in a company in shares and you never know when you will be able to get your money back. And thanks to our system, thanks to the fact that we manage this and we do it on our own platform, we want to organize regularly, like it could be a yearly thing where we allow new investors to enter and previous investor to potentially sell some of their shares, and then we create liquidity. But at this stage, I mean, 1 to 2 million is going to be more than enough.
That's great. Exciting. I have two more questions for you before we end. You said you're a big fan of furniture, or you used to be way before starting this company. So what's your favorite piece?
The problem is that I fall in love with too many furniture, so it's hard. But if I have to choose one right now, there is a brand we work with called WeWood from Portugal, and they are super good with some of their design. And there is the Rabello, so it's called Rabello Sofa, and it's a very, very beautiful piece, white design with some wood finishing. And yeah, I think that sofa is currently my favorite.
Amazing. I'm super pleased it's coming from Portugal. And last question, can you please share your investment portfolio?
I'm like a lot of people investing a little bit in like shares through ETF. I would say that that's maybe 50% of my portfolio. I started to also put some money in Enki because, I mean, I believe this is a good solution. I have some real estate, I would say 30%. And the rest, I also invest in some startups. So I'm involved in some startups.
Nice. Thank you so much, Aïssa. It was a pleasure to speak to you, to get to know a bit better like that world, which is still, again, very niche, very, very early on, but super interesting as a concept. So I really hope that you have the success that you continues, and really keen to continue to engage.
Well, the pleasure was shared, and thank you very much again for the opportunity and for the interest in the project. And we'll keep working on and pushing things. And
beautiful. So that's the end of this episode. I hope you're as enthusiastic as I am. You can find the notes and the key takeaways on my website, mariecafino.com. And if you like this podcast, please subscribe and spread the word. Thank you.